What is sin? Well, in a lot of ways you could define it, but here's the way I would define sin. Sin is any thought, word, or action that goes contrary to the will of God. It's doing what we ought not to do, but also failing to do what we should do. Anytime we fail to live up to God's expectations for us, we're sinning. Now, the Bible uses a number of words for sin that you find. Words like transgression or trespass. Both of them have kind of along the line the same idea. It's going outside or beyond proper boundaries. For instance, if you're familiar with the story of Adam and Eve, God gave them a boundary. He said, you can eat from all the trees of the garden, but you cannot eat from this one tree that's at the center of the garden. The boundaries were set up for them that they weren't supposed to pass. Of course, if you're familiar with the story, you know that's exactly what they did. They trespassed, they transgressed God's law. We're familiar with the idea of trespassing, though, aren't we? No trespassing signs. If it's posted and you go past that onto their property, you're guilty of committing a crime. And how about boundaries, football games? I mean, if you catch a ball, if you're a wide receiver, you catch a ball outside of the boundaries, then it's no good. Well, it's kind of like this. If we act in ways that are outside of the boundaries that God has set for us, we're guilty of sinning. Well, another word that's used in the Bible, the Greek word is hamartia, but it carries the idea of missing the mark. Missing the mark. It's used of like an arrow that's shot at a target and falls short of the target. And the Bible actually has verses that talk about this, don't they? It says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, we haven't lived up to what God's intent is for us. And notice here, it's not what we do, but what we fail to do, living up to the standards and the expectations that God has for us. A couple other words that are used for sin are wickedness or iniquity, and they carry along the line of the same meaning. It has to do with being twisted or distorted. If you're familiar with something called wicker furniture, it's made of like cane or reed of some sort, and it's all twisted together. They'll make tables out of it or chairs and whatnot. Well, that idea of twisted, that's at the center of wickedness and iniquity. Sometimes it's translated as perverted. We think about sexual perversion. I guess we don't really think about sexual perversion much as a culture anymore because we think anything goes now. Or we talk about perverting justice. That means taking something that's right and twisting it into something that it ought not to be. Well, the Bible also uses a lot of imagery for sin and talks about sin in different ways. For instance, sin is pictured as a rebellion that must be crushed. A rebellion that must be crushed. No nation that has a government and the people rebel against it is going to put up with that. They try to put down the rebellion. Well, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they started a rebellion against their Creator, and we've been continuing that rebellion as humanity ever since. The other thing the Bible says about sin is that it's a crime, one that needs to be punished. And there's a book called Crime and Punishment. And the idea is that eventually crimes have to be punished because that upholds justice. And it's certainly true that God, being a just God, must punish crimes. And of course, even though we don't think our crimes should be punished, when people commit crimes against us, we believe that they should be punished. Third thing the Bible tells us is that sin is pictured as a debt that needs to be paid off. And in the court system, sometimes people are given fines, and they're required to pay those fines. We put people in prison, and after they're done, we sometimes say that they've paid their debt to society. Well, I heard someone say one time that our sins, like our debts, are often more than we think. And Americans are in debt to a great degree. And of course, our whole national debt, I don't even want to get into that. It's astronomical. But take the issue of sins. I mean, you think about the way we can sin. As I said, you can sin by what you say, what you do, what you think, what you should do and you don't do. But let's imagine or ask the question, how many times do you think an average person sins during the day? Well, I mean, just one swear word would be a sin. And so obviously 10 swear words would be 10 sins. But let's say that a person did pretty well, very well. They only committed 10 sins per day. Okay, 10 sins per day, there's 365 days in a year. That would give you 3,650 sins per year. Now, if you were to live to be 85 years old, that's 3,650 times 85, it comes out to be 110,250 sins. I think our sins are a lot greater than we often imagine. And if every sin has to be punished, that would mean that people would have to be punished for every sin that they committed. That's huge. Another way the Bible pictures sin is as an offense that has to be removed. The offense that it is to God. Now, if you're a woman, a young girl, and you heard someone refer to you as a whore, a prostitute, a slut, how many times would you have to hear that the person said that before you were offended? Well, it'd only be once. I mean, just the fact that they would dare to say that's offensive. Well, what would happen if that occurred and you confronted the person with it and they said, nah, it's no big deal, so I called you a whore. Wouldn't that make it even worse that they hadn't recognized how offensive the comment was? Or a spouse who cheats on their wife or their husband and they're caught and they say, it's no big deal, I like other women, get over it. Their callous attitude, their casual attitude towards the offense that they'd committed would compound it. Well, it's similar to human beings. We not only sin and offend God, but when we're confronted with it, we kind of shrug our shoulders and say, it's no big deal, everybody does it. Or we say, well, I don't believe there's a God there who I've offended. Well, but that would be like a man saying, I don't believe the girl exists who I called a whore. Well, she does exist, and she has been offended, and she's the one who determines whether she's offended. You don't determine whether she's offended. In the same way, it's God who determines whether he's offended by what we've done and what we've said. And so this is a huge deal, the offense that sin is to God. Another way that the Bible pictures sin, though, as a filth from which we need to be cleansed. I knew a guy who used to come into a restaurant I worked at, and he, for a job, he used to pump sewers. And he always came in with the evidence of his work still on his clothes. It didn't seem to bother him any, but I think it bothered the people who sat around him. The Bible talks about sin as something that defiles us, something that makes us filthy, so to speak. And there are verses in the Bible that say if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to be clean. We're dirty because of our sins. Also in the Bible, it gives the indication that sin is a slavery from which we need to be freed. Now, we understand that when it comes to people who are addicted to alcohol or drugs or something like that, pornography. But people are addicted to all kinds of sins. And it may show up more in one person than another. But you've never met anybody who hasn't sinned. And you are not one of the people who hasn't sinned either. And neither am I. And I remember one time just talking to a guy, and he told me, well, you know, yeah, I don't have to swear. I could stop anytime I want. I said, well, okay, I'll challenge you to do that. And he was a guy at work, and I left. And after I left, one of the other guys who worked with him said that he lasted about 2 minutes the first time he swore, because I bet him money that he couldn't. And then he lasted 3 minutes, and then he lasted 2 minutes, and he lasted 1 minute, and then he gave up. Well, that was just one simple thing, swearing. He couldn't stop. What about all the other sins that we have? We need to be freed from it. Jesus himself said, if the Son, meaning himself, will set you free, you will be free indeed. Another thing that the Bible tells us, though, is that sin is a sickness. Not a physical illness, but a moral sickness from which we need to be healed. In one of the books in the Old Testament, God says, the heart is deceitful above all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Now, perhaps you watch in the news occasionally, you'll hear some horrible story about what parents do to their children or what somebody did when they kidnapped a woman or a young boy or whatever. And you think, that is so sick. How could they do that? Well, I don't think what you mean by that is they have some kind of germ that they picked up at a dirty bathroom. What you mean is it's morally sick. The problem is, though, that most people feel morally fine. But are we? Are these things that I just told you true about us? Are you a good person? Well, to answer that question, why don't you go on to the next segment and take the test that answers that. Are you a good person?